Fresh talks in Egypt on a potential ceasefire in Gaza may be making some small progress. According to Egypt State TV, all parties have agreed on basic points. Meanwhile, the Israeli military said it was reducing its troop numbers in southern Gaza, but still stressed a significant force would remain in the area. But while the Palestinians wait for peace, the World Food Programme said malnutrition among children is spreading at record pace in Gaza. The 6 months of fighting has claimed the lives of some 13,000 children and injured countless more. Their homes, their schools and hospitals are in ruins and famine is imminent. Caoimhe de Barra is the CEO of Trocar, and you're very welcome to studio this morning, Caoimhe. We saw some concessions last week from Israel, and that was in the wake of the killing of seven humanitarian workers. We saw the opening of the Ashdod port. We saw the opening of the Erez Gate in northern Gaza. Has it made much of a difference in terms of the delivery of aid to people who are in such desperate need?
Unfortunately, the only thing that will make any substantial difference is a full ceasefire and full and unimpeded humanitarian access. So long as there is any combat operations at all in Gaza and those operations continue, it will be extremely difficult and dangerous for humanitarian organisations to reach people most in need. And the people who are most in need are those who are in northern Gaza, where, as you have said, famine is imminent, but also people are already dying of starvation in northern Gaza. Babies are dying of dehydration and of hunger, and people are surviving on less than 245 calories per day. That is in effect starvation, and this is going on since January. So the conditions are appalling. The reality also is that while these concessions are very welcome, there is a degree of theatre involved. So Israel still maintains control over the ports. It maintains control over the crossings. It maintains control over everything that goes in by lorry to Gaza. It continues to impose incredibly strict restrictions on anything that could potentially be considered to have a dual use. And this includes fundamentals like water purification equipment.
Yeah, so they are checking every truck that goes across that border and deciding on the basis of its contents whether it goes through or not.
That's right. And as a result, you have queues of trucks that stretches sometimes 1,000 or 4,000 was one figure recently, trucks long. So in effect, what we might just see is more queues in more places and very little impact in terms of humanitarian assistance for people on the ground.
Because of, you know, your first concern, it's for the people of Gaza and trying to get aid to them. But you also have to have huge concern for the humanitarian workers that you put on the ground there. What's changed since last week now about how those workers go about their work?
In effect, very little has changed because the rules of engagement have only marginally changed. Clearly, there is pressure on Israel, and that's very welcome, to take into account the civilian casualties, but also the impact of attacks on aid workers. However, the aid workers who were killed, who were working for World Central Kitchen, were by and large international aid workers, which is why the attention of the world and the pressure was exerted on Israel. However, 200 aid workers have died to date, and they are all Palestinians. Four of my colleagues, people who are working with local partner organisations of Trocar's, have died in the last 6 months. Every one of my colleagues who are working on the ground are vulnerable. The reality is that the rules of engagement are such that you cannot move in Gaza as a humanitarian organisation without getting a clearance from the Israeli Defence Forces. But it's now clear that there are huge weaknesses in the Israeli Defence Forces systems, which mean that aid workers can and possibly will continue also to be attacked. So the risks for humanitarian workers are still extremely high, which is why the only thing that will make a difference is a full ceasefire.
You've supported much of the Irish government's moves and statements in relation to Gaza, but you want more. And in your own statement today, you're talking about unblocking the Palestinian Territories Bill. Remind us what that bill contains.
So the Occupied Territories Bill is a bill which would make it illegal for companies that are operating in the illegally occupied Palestinian territories, so not the State of Israel, but the illegally occupied Palestinian territories, to profit from that work, from those investments and from those services. And it would make it illegal for Irish companies or companies based in Ireland to invest in or to profit directly from the occupied territories. So we very much welcome the National Treasury Management Agency's decision to divest Irish state funds from six Israeli organizations. But we believe that this needs to be enshrined in law. We believe that this would send an extremely strong message to Israel that, as our partners, Israeli human rights organizations have been saying for years, that there are consequences to occupation, that there are consequences to the brutal dehumanization of Palestinians, and that there must be a political solution which both respects the rights of Israelis, of course, to security, but which, and this is paramount, respects the right of Palestinians to live in peace and in dignity and to have all of their human rights protected and respected.
And I think everyone, you know, listening to you, calling for a full ceasefire, it would be what they would want as well. But that may not happen, or that may not happen for some time. And you're going to have to work with the realities that are on the ground there. Israeli Defence Forces saying, even as they were scaling down the numbers of troops in southern Gaza, this is another stage in the war effort. So you have to, you and your fellow aid organisations, you're going to have to continue to work within certain realities. Talk to me about some of the negotiation that goes on between these your partner organisations and the IDF about how you move about your business.
So the IDF has a civil liaison unit which is meant to negotiate and ensure safe passage for humanitarian organisations. That is absolutely crucial. It is also extraordinarily time consuming. It takes a huge amount of effort to agree even one humanitarian movement. And then, as we have seen, that can result in catastrophic outcomes if those rules of engagement are not respected. And this is what we fear will continue, because it seems that, as we have heard from Yoav Gallant, there may still be an incursion into Rafah. And that would be absolutely catastrophic. One of our major concerns is that, in terms of what we're hearing from Israel, what we often hear is a discourse which is around the creation of safe places for civilians in Gaza. There are no safe places for civilians in Gaza. Even if Israel were to fully open up a passage north so that people could go back to northern Gaza, what would they find there? It is absolutely desolate. It has been completely devastated. People's buildings are gone. They're demolished. There's no food there. So even if Israel was to say people can safely move to northern Gaza, which would be taking a big risk, people will arrive only to die by other means, only to die by starvation. We're really concerned as well around the rules of engagement, which emerged last week in a Guardian report, where it's clear from reports from Israeli intelligence officers that they were giving license to combatants to bomb residential buildings on the suspicion, not the confirmation, but the suspicion that there were Hamas operatives within, resulting in the loss of massive numbers of civilian lives.
Kuiva Dabara, thank you very much for coming into us this morning. Kuiva Dabara there, the CEO of Throkra.